don't have a lot to say, but sometimes you can't just always preach about it. You know, it's such a blessing to be able to stand in front of a congregation that truly loves the Lord. You know, it is by grace that we've all come to know the Lord, and it's by grace that we've come into a family that's so magnificent as this one. You know, but the thing is, you must always be very careful if you're in a position like this, because what you say can sometimes, you know, people hear different things when you say the same sentence to them, you know. Just for illustration, I helped this lady. She was in hospital in ICU. She replaced her hip, and I told, you know, I got there and I told the lady, you know, what the whole process of what's going to happen, because I want them to know, you know, how they're going to get out of bed, how they're going to stand up, how is the walking, the turning, the sitting. And I tell her, Tani, you don't have to worry. We've got this, and we're going to turn and walk there and come back, and then we're gonna go into the bed. And she tells me she's married, and I'm like, fantastic. You know, I'm also married. You know, and I tell her about my wonderful wife, you know, oblivious to what she actually just said to me. And, you know, we do the things we need to do and get back, get her on the side of the bed. And I tell her, okay, ma'am, ons gaan nou in die bed in. And she looks at me and she says, Mark, wil jy saam jou in die bed in klim? So, sometimes we say things that come out a little bit weird. So please, listen to the message. All right, listen to the message. English isn't my first language, so the grammar will also be a bit bad here and there. All right, so this morning, my sermon's title is Heads or Tails. You know, it's a... since we've been very young, you know, most of us living in Namibia and South Africa or this area, our teachers and our parents try and mold us into this respectable citizen, you know, with love and respect for our neighbor. We've got these godly principles the people teach us when we start growing up. And, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, it kind of goes along the line of Galatians 5, the list of Galatians 5. And the list in Galatians 5, verse 22, says the following: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So yeah, this is an amazing set of English words, and it's in Afrikaans Bible as well, believe it or not. And, you know, it's such powerful things when we start trying to, you know, just work on these things, you know. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we abound in these things. You know, let's just quickly look at this. Is not what my sermon is about, but you'll see where I'm coming from with this. You know, let's take the first one, love. You know, in John 15, verse 9, for those of you who have your Bibles here, John 15, verse 9, it says that, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus Christ speaking, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Wow, that is a mouthful. That is a whole sermon on its own. You know, but it's not like only love. You know, the word speaks about joy. You know, the second one on that list of Galatians 5, joy in Nehemiah 8 verse 10. It says, then he said to them, go eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be so sorry, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Long-suffering. James 1, verse 19 and 20 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of God. And so we can go on. So we can take every word in that list of Galatians 5. We can take every one and we'll see scripture about it. And the blessings about it. You know, and I can't think that there's anybody in this room this morning that will protest against those things. I don't think there's any rational person sitting here today that doesn't think, yes, you know, I would like to abound more in love. I would like to abound more in long-suffering or patience. You know, I would like to have more self-control. You know, I don't think there's any of those things on those lists that any rational person will not want. And by the grace of the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can work on these things. But it's difficult, eh? Yeah, it's difficult. Luckily, it's not out of our own strength. I'm going to tell you a little story again. I was just kind of starting to know the Lord, and, you know, the Lord really pressed on my heart that I must have more love. You know, men get told in the Bible to love. You know, women, that comes naturally, you know. But us men, we sometimes struggle. Any case, I was coming in from Wolfish Bayside, and they're just pastor there at Otterhouse, sorry. And just across the road there, and the taxi comes in and drives in front of me. And I had a bit of an issue with a bit of anger when I was driving a long time ago. And this friend of mine was sitting next to me, and we just came from church. And this taxi stopped right in front of me. I had to throw on the anchors, and so my window was open, and I pointed my finger, and I said, Here sal vir jou seën. Unfortunately, it was still in the type of voice I would usually say other things. And my friend that was sitting next to me says, you know, I've never heard anybody tell somebody that the Lord will bless you, and it sounds like a swear word. But that's how it started. You know, that's how it starts. You know, all these things. And you know, our hearts, all of us have this ability to love. You know, we have this Abba Father who is love. You know, it's not just the character of him, but he is physical love. You know, and that's amazing. And the one thing about all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5, is that, let's take love for instance, that if you give love, you do not have less love. When God loves you, he doesn't have less love now for anybody else. You know, if you have a baby, to you and them, they were here just now. It's his birthday. If you guys see him, give him a big kiss, a royal holy kiss. They got a new baby. His wife gave him a baby for his birthday. How cool is that? All right, but when you have a new baby in a house, it's a new person to love. It's a new person to love, but do you think that you love your husband, you have less love now for your other children? do you think you have less love for your husband? And that is an amazing math of Scripture. You know, is that by giving love, it doesn't get less? On the contrary, it usually gets a bit more. You know? There's no, I don't, can't see engineer right now, but we'll have to have a graph, I'm sure. So one of them can figure out a graph how that works, but you know that even it's if you only take love, if you think love is the only thing in the equation, then yes, love equals more love. But there's certain other things that go with those things. You know, time. You know, you lose maybe time. You get a new baby, you lose a little bit of time sleeping. But the amazing thing about these gifts in Galatians 5 is that you'll realize that the time you have now, you would rather lose with the one you love. That is where you want to spend your time. You know, so the time you lose is actually more, it's better time. It's better time than watching CSI. It's better to see your wife smile because you've complimented her than seeing one guy do a DNA test under a microscope. Amen. Yeah. You know, the thing is about that about love is sometimes you need patience. You know, patience, long-suffering. For instance, when you have a dog and you want to teach this dog how to not do his business indoors but outdoors, you need some patience. All right. You do need some patience. Or, you know, if you have, I'm on this baby thing because we're having a baby now in 2 weeks, so unfortunately that's all that's in my head. All right. So if you have a baby and you want to teach them how to eat, it is a messy thing. It is a messy thing, but you have patience. You endure. And the thing is, you learn patience. So you have to give patience, but you get patience, you have more patience. I see you guys looking at me and say, Ruan, where are you going with this? Let's take peace. If you create peace, don't you have more peace? Your fruit bears more fruit. One seed bears a whole tree. A whole tree full of fruit, full of seeds. Let's go to Scripture. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in the least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. And that's a beautiful thing. And we all can agree, if you have love, you get love, you have more love, your love just never stops. There's certain things that happen in your life, and the sensation, the emotion of love gets suppressed, but the ability to love doesn't decrease. The ability to love increases. You know, we all go through stages in our lives where a loved one goes away. And you feel you can never love again. You give the Lord a bit of chance. A bit of time later, your cup will run over. You'll have more love than you've ever had. So my sermon is unfortunately not about love. But I just want to mention something. That you know, Scripture says in Corinthians that love is patient. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to say, but it also cuts to the bone. And that's what I love about Scripture. It's a double-edged sword, able to split bone from marrow. You know, it discerns it with the things of your heart. The Scripture knows you. The Word says, love is patient. It's fine if you're impatient with your dog if he does his business in the house. Because you don't love his business. You love the dog. It's fine if you don't have patience with, for instance, a repetitive sin your baby child does. Because you don't love sin. You love your baby. But the question arises, do you have less love? Do you have less patience for your husband? Do you have less patience for your wife than for other strangers? That math doesn't make sense. There's certain things, I understand this, I'm also married, there's certain things that happen that you don't truly you agree upon, which is fine. You don't have to love it, but you love the person unconditionally, till death do us part, hell or high water. So this is just something I want you to meditate upon, is that are you quick to speak? Are you slow to listen? Are you quick to wrath with those you love? Because remember, then the enemy is trying to pull some wool over your eyes, because love is patient. Love is kind. You know, Pastor Jaco had this sermon a couple of weeks ago about this different phases of Christianity. And he had this pink pram here. I don't know who was here, but yeah, it's quite cute. He only has daughters. So I think that pink pram has come with him a couple of years. You know, it's part of the family, I think. But he spoke about being a baby, how about being a son and being a father. Obviously, son and father, it's just steps. It's just there to indicate steps. I mean, a daughter or mother, you know, it's, listen, don't always listen to what we say, but listen to what we mean. All right, we just want to get you into the bed safely. We don't want to climb into the bed with you. All right, okay. You know, and just like these things, there's things when we are babies that we learn that we carry through the rest of our lives. And that is, for instance, walking. All right, we learn how to walk when we're still a baby. You know, some people do it around a year, other more, other less. But you learn how to walk predominantly when you're still a baby. And it's not like you stop walking once you become a teenager, do you? How did all of you get here today? You know, it's not that you stop walking once you become an adult. You know, you don't stop walking. You persevere with things you get taught when you were younger through your whole lifetime. And that's where the foundation is set. All right. So the thing is, certain people train in their walking so much so that it becomes running, so much so that they can run the comrades, or alongside Usain Bolt, letting him give you his autograph while you're running next to him, then you must know you're pretty fast. All right. The reason I say, or I'm talking about Galatians 5 is because it's foundational. Galatians 5 is something we get taught from an early age and we need to persevere through with. Galatians 5 is this walking thing, and Galatians 5 is this thing we train ourselves to become runners. And you always go back to this. You always go back to these fruits. But the thing is, what I want to say is that there's There comes a stage in your life when you're not a baby anymore, and it's not that if you want something, you receive something, or you do something only to receive something. Because if you have love, we've only receive it from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You receive it, and you give it, and you get more. So you get something in return. And there's a certain stage in your life where you don't only do something to get something in return. Luke 6, verse 32. For if you love those who love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do the same. You know, the thing is, if you start... 34. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So when you start doing things in your faith, not because you want to receive something, then you know you're starting to move away a little bit from spoon feeding. All right, there's certain things we start doing not because we're going to receive this, but because we want to give it. We want to give it. The Lord mustn't come take it, you want to give it. Some things are obviously a lot harder than other things. Yankor was here last week, and he spoke about respecting authority. He spoke about a lot of things, but one of those things was respecting authority. Let's read scripture, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to higher authorities. For there is no authority but of God. The authorities that exist are ordained by God, so that the one resisting the authority resists the ordinance of God, and the one who resists will receive judgment to themselves. It's biblical. Janko didn't suck it out of his thumb. All authority is of God. The Lord doesn't say all authority is godly, but all authority is of God. The Lord decided he's going to make Hage Geingob president of our nation. And that's the Lord's will. No authority comes from anywhere else except from the Lord. But to give respect, you don't always receive respect. So we're moving away now from these lists on Galatians 5. Although we have respect, we don't necessarily expect respect back. But you can't only give respect when you will receive it, then you're still being spoon-fed. And it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. I mean, this is something that you have to have some long-suffering with, or meekness, or kindness. Gentleness, joy, those are fruits again. But respect? But when you give respect, you don't lose respect. You know, like the widow with the oil in the flask? The oil never ran out. But the oil never got more. The oil stayed the same amount in that flask. But it never got less. You guys understand where I'm going now with this, is that you can't get something, give it, and get more of it, and think you're all right, because you're still a baby. We're all still babies, unfortunately. We still walk. We still do things that babies do. Walking, like I said. We still need to abound in these fruits, but becomes a certain stage in your life where you decide, I'm going to become more mature in my faith. Where you not only do things to get things, but the Lord says, you know, by my grace, I will give you the ability to give things without losing what you've given. Money. You know, you can say, Ron, you know, the word is full of joy. The word is full of love. The word is full of long-suffering. It's full of meekness and kindness and gentleness. And the word is full of faith. But the word has 2,350 scriptures on money and possessions. 2,350. Jesus spoke a lot about possessions. And I'm going to say something that might also come over a bit strong. But the thing is, you can't say that I've given my life over to the Lord. You can't say that, Lord, your will is perfect for my life, but you haven't put the subject of money under his authority. And money is difficult to talk about. You think it's difficult to sit there and listen about it. I need to stand on top here and talk about it. I said, you think it's difficult to sit there and listen about the money? Before that. About the verses. 2,350 verses. And the Lord spoke a lot about it in parables. A lot about possessions in the parables. A lot. More than things we tend to keep closer to our heart. But you say, Ruan, I caught you out here with your own little bit of logic. If you give money, you have less money. Let's see. Matthew 17, verse 27. But lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the first fish that comes up. And when you have opened its mouth, you shall find a stater. Take that and give it to them for me and you. So a stater is a coin. It is money. The Lord was instructing Peter to do this act. Now, what was Peter's profession? Fisherman. Interesting. So, when Peter removed the coin from the fish's mouth, was there less fish left? Was the fish less edible? Was the fish unsellable? Did the fish rot immediately after you removed the coin? Did the fish fail to stay a fish? Peter didn't gain another fish, but he didn't lose the fish he had. How did the coin get there in the first place? It was God's providence. The same God that provided for the coin and the fish is the same God that provides you for your business. He is the same God that provides for your family. He's the same God that is the provider of everything you need. He's the same God that promises you that He will never leave or forsake you. He's the same God that says, everything is mine underneath the sun. Riches and honor and glory belong to me and me alone. Everything belongs to the Lord and He provides. And He provides for your business. The problem is that we see our money as the coin in the fish's mouth and not as the fish. If you are able to make tables, isn't that your fish? Isn't that your profession? If you are able to make cars or fix cars, isn't that your profession? Isn't that your fish? Do you think the Lord that provides for you to be able to fish will then suddenly tell you, no, on this side of the boat there's a lot of fish, throw it on the other side and then you'll see there's nothing. Did He say that? The Lord didn't say that. He did the other way around. The Lord says, you were fishing here, you're a fisherman, you catch nothing. I tell you, I will provide for you. Cast your nets on the other side. We miss it. We think our money is the money in the fish's mouth. We think our business is the money in the fish's mouth. We think our salary is the money in the fish's mouth. But that is the fish. The Lord provides. And so the Lord will provide. As He provided for the coin, the Lord will provide in your business. The Lord will provide in your salary. The Lord will provide where it needs to provide. He will give you the fish. You will open the mouth and there will be a coin unto the Lord. The coin is different than the fish. The fish doesn't rot. It doesn't become unsellable. You can't stop fixing cars. You can't stop making bricks. The Lord will provide you. You will not get less. And we all agreed upon when we read through Luke 16, when we read about the fruits, where the Lord, let's read it. Luke 16, verse 9, 10, and 11. When we read about verse 10, he who is faithful in the least is also faithful in much, and he who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. And we said, that is true. That's true with our fruits, but is it true of our money? Let's read it from verse 9. And I say to you, make friends by the mammon of righteousness for yourselves, so that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. He who is faithful in the least is also faithful in much, and he who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? That verse is smack in the middle of money. You know, money is morally neutral. If you flip a coin, the chances are 50-50 that it will be heads or tails. Money isn't biased. It isn't unfair. Money is morally neutral. That means you can take money and use it for good, or you can take money and use it for evil. But the money itself is neutral. It's your decision. You know, I can testify that if you give a tithe, that you receive. I can testify that. Gives you more fruit, but it gives you more business. But the reason I'm refraining from hammering on that is because God is not the lottery. You don't give something to God and expect multiple things back. That is spoon feeding. We're moving away from that. We're moving away from the diapers. We're moving away from the pram. We're moving away from just being spoon-fed, and we're coming to a place of maturity, and we say, the Lord, our Father in heaven, who has given us all things that work good unto us, comes from you. Lord, we come to this place, and we want to give this without expecting anything back. And the Lord says, you know what? Just because you give, I will make sure that you do not have less when you give. You do not have less. I promise you, we'll probably have more. But maybe not more in the sense that what you think is more. The Lord is not the lottery. Give cheerfully. Give thankfully. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. We're mature enough to know that you don't always need to receive. You don't always just do something to get something out of the deal. You don't only just do good to good people. What is the reward in that? You don't always need to receive respect when you give respect. Because the respect you give is not unto the person, but it is, you give respect unto the Lord. It is in His ordinance. The Lord said, respect your authority. And that's good enough for me. You know, if you read Malachi, there's a lot of things about tithing in there. But I'm telling you, don't just do things because you want things. In the Word, it's not bargaining. We've received all spiritual blessings. It's by the Lord's love that we are even in this position to know Him. It's by the Lord's love that we are even in this position to be saved. It's because the Lord has given us everything that we do not deserve already, that we are standing here in this place. We have this beautiful family. We've got these great people around us. Yes, there are certain times that we bump our toes against rocks, but our God is the rock of all rocks. He is the foundation, and He is stable. He is the stability of our times. He has given us everything. Do not be a child. Don't say, Lord, I'm giving you this, but you know, I want double. You know, the Lord will look at your double and laugh. He will give you 1,000 more. He will give you 10,000 times 10,000 more. Double is for the meek. But don't do it because you expect something back. Be mature. Can you all stand up? Just close your eyes. Father God, you are our provider, Father. You are all. You are in all and through all, Father. You are within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us in this temple of yours, Father. We are part of this bride, Father, that you are preparing, Father. Make us beautiful, Father. Make us beautiful for you, Father. Make your body beautiful, Father. Father, give us love and joy and peace. and long-suffering, Father. Give us kindness. Let us abound in goodness and in faith, Father, in meekness and in self-control, Father. Give this unto us, Father, through our walk, Father. Father, but give us the ability to walk away from the milk, Father, and eat food, Father. Eat the solid foods, Father. If there's anybody here this morning and you feel that my patience is... I don't have patience for those I love. I don't know why I'm angry. I don't know why I'm quick to wrath, why I'm slow to listen, why I'm quick to speak. If there's somebody here that just feels that, you know, somewhere het my lont baie kort geword vir hierdie mense waarvoor ek so lief is eintlik. My hart breek. Ek sien myself, I see myself and I think to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I so short-tempered with the ones I love? I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward if you feel, Lord, I'm ready for this place of maturity, Father. I'm ready to give you. I'm still afraid, Father. I'm still anxious, Father, but you've given me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, Father. You've given it to me, Father, and I'm in this place where I want to give to you, Father, without wanting to receive the whole time, Father. If you're in that place, Father, if there's anybody that's in that place, I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask the Lord to just grace you. Grace you in this knowledge of trusting Him. I'm going to end off in prayer. Lord, Father, our Heavenly Father, you are truly the utmost, Father. You are high and holy, Father. You created the heavens and the earth, Father. You measured the universe with the palm of your hands, Father, but you know us. You've known us before we were in our mother's womb. You know us by our name, Father, and you know every hair that falls from our heads, Father. And we love you, Father, not because we deserve to love you, Father, but because you've placed us in this position that we are able, Father, and we glorify your name, Father. You are worthy to be praised, Father. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for your blood that's washed out our sins. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Father, help us in this week, Father. Let us grow in maturity, Father. Let us abound in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.